This morning, we're going to continue in our study, in our 5G study, the five marks of an authentic believer. The first week, we looked at authentic believers are ones that are glorifying believers. They bring glory to God, and we looked at the glory of God and how he has revealed that to us in his Son, Jesus Christ, and through his word and through his creation, and our response then in bringing glory back to the Father. And then second week, last week, we looked at an authentic believer is one that is growing, someone that is growing in their faith and being challenged by his word to grow. We don't want to just grow in spurts. We want to grow continuously and it be increasing. And so we examined our hearts last week in that. And this morning, we want to look at our third G this morning, which is grateful. Grateful. An authentic believer is one who is grateful. Now, it's interesting that it falls on this Sunday. Wasn't planned, but it's kind of unique that we have this fall on Sunday after Thanksgiving, and we've just spent a lot of time about what it means to be thankful and grateful. But question for you, how many of you know why we celebrate Thanksgiving? Well, when I grew up, I was under the impression that Thanksgiving was a holiday that was started by the pilgrims, and it was a celebration for the harvest that had come, and they were thanking God for this wonderful land and for this fruit of this land, and so we were then celebrating the pilgrims. Anybody ever believe that? Yeah, that was my understanding. However, did you know that Thanksgiving didn't exist until 1864 when President Lincoln established Thanksgiving? And President Lincoln established Thanksgiving for one reason, to set aside a day, check this, to set aside a day of thanksgiving and praise to Almighty God. Wow. We have changed, haven't we? Yeah, can you imagine today a president of the United States set aside in a day just to praise God? People would be like, who are you talking about? Look at this. This is what President Lincoln wrote. I'm just going to read a few highlights of it. It has pleased Almighty God to prolong our nation's life another year, defending us with his guardian care against unfriendly designs from abroad and vouchsafing to us in his mercy many and signal victories over the enemy who is of our own household. It has pleased our Heavenly Father to favor as well our citizens in their homes as our soldiers in their camps and our sailors on the rivers and seas with unusual health. He has largely augmented our free population. And he goes on it. But then it comes and says, now, therefore, I, Abraham Lincoln, President of the United States, do hereby appoint and set apart the last Thursday in November next as a day which I desire to be observed by all fellow citizens, wherever they may be, as a day of thanksgiving and praise to Almighty God, the creator and ruler of the universe. And I do further recommend to my fellow citizens aforesaid that on that occasion they do reverently humble themselves in the dust and from thence offer up penitent and fervent prayers and supplications to the great, love this, disposer of events, the sovereign God. Is that amazing? Yeah. Thank you, President Lincoln, for giving us a day set aside that we can still praise and thank God in this country. So thankful for that. How many of you on your Thanksgiving had a chance just to sit around your table and just thank the Lord? And one at a time, just what is it something that you're grateful for this last year? I was struck this year as we've gone through a pretty, I would say, not so fun kind of year. However, God is so awesome and good. As we walked around the table and as we shared and just hearing many of the things that we are grateful for, certainly, you know, Amir and Jacqueline, their wedding this past May was amazing. But it was interesting, we got to Robert and Robert said, you know what, last year as we sat around this table, we all had different things we were grateful for. And this year they're so drastically different, but I wouldn't change it because God is faithful and God is good and we're thankful for his goodness and his grace. And so I would encourage you, if you haven't done that, you take time with your family around the table just to look at what it means to be thankful, to be grateful. And so authentic believers, a mark of an authentic believer is one that is a grateful believer. So let's just get a definition on the table for us to consider. I looked at the dictionary for grateful. The dictionary for grateful says, warmly or deeply appreciative of kindness of benefits received. Thankful. It's not this definition yet, but that's okay. We'll get there in a second. Thanksgiving in dictionary.com says, the act of giving thanks, grateful, acknowledgement of benefits or favors, especially to God. That's what the dictionary says about thankful or grateful and thanksgiving. And so we've kind of compiled some of these things to come up with a plan or an idea for us to look at this morning, a definition of spiritual gratefulness, and that is an attitude of overwhelming joy over a benefit received, which turns back expressions of thanksgiving to the glory of the benefactor. Two parts: an attitude of overwhelming joy over a benefit received. Can we stick that back up a second there, Matt? Yeah. Which turns back expressions of thankfulness to the glory of the benefactor. So we want to look at those two parts, those two thoughts this morning. Our big idea comes from a quote that I heard James McDonald say years ago, and I never forgot it. And it was, gratitude is the attitude that sets the altitude for living. Gratitude is the attitude that sets the altitude for living. And so this morning, as we examine a couple thoughts, we want to be in a position where we too are flying at a high altitude of gratitude with grateful hearts. If you know anything about flying, altitude is your friend, right? You want to be high in case you have a problem. My mother-in-law is a pilot, and so she always gets on a plane and says to the pilot, hey, listen, just all I need to know is the stall speed. If you get up high enough and I know the stall speed, I'll get us down. But if we're like not very high, what happened in the Hudson a few years ago was unbelievable. Amazing. Altitude. What altitude are you flying at with your gratitude and your grateful spirit this morning? Our first thought this morning we want to look at, based on the first half of our definition, is that gratefulness is a choice that I make. Gratefulness is a choice that I make. You see, we make all kinds of choices, don't we? Like we chose this morning. We chose what we were going to wear. We chose what we were going to eat, if anything, right? We make choices all the time. And those choices have consequences that either create in us gratefulness or the opposite of which is ungrateful, right? And so this morning, maybe you're here and you're still kind of in an ungrateful mode. And let me just remind you for a second of how we can reverse that and become grateful this morning. So this morning you woke up, right? That's number one. And guess what? You probably got out of bed because you're here, right? What's that mean? You got a bed. And when you were in bed, where was your head? On a pillow. Yeah, and so when you got off the pillow and got your body up out of the bed and you walked from there into the bathroom, you probably sat down on a... Yes, thank the Lord for toilets. We're not going outside to some cold whatever hole in the ground. And then you decided, okay, it's probably good that I should brush my teeth, so I'll go over to the sink and then turn on this thing called faucet, and all of a sudden, wow, out comes this stuff called water. And you brushed your teeth. And then from there, you said, oh, I'm going to take a shower. And so you went in the shower, and you turned the red faucet, and guess what? It was what? Hot. Okay, do I need to go on? We have lots to be thankful for. And so there's no room to be ungrateful in our lives. So we want to talk about gratefulness as a choice. And it starts just when you're getting out of bed. I was listening to a pastor friend of mine this week, and he said this. He said, I try to feed my soul before I feed my stomach. That's an interesting thought, right? Feed your soul before you feed your stomach. You might have a greater gratefulness. Thank God for this day. Thank God for the breath that he's providing us even right now. thank God for the life that he's given to us, that we're in this place. I thank God for each one of you. I thank God for this church. I thank God for my spouse. I thank God for my family. See the point? We can have a grateful spirit, and you can just go on and on and on. There's so much, but we have to choose it. We have to choose gratefulness. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says this, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing," and what, Paul? "In everything give thanks." In everything give thanks. Why? "For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, you know, we spend a lot of time in our lives trying to decipher and discern what the will of God is for us. And we're always praying, and I'm talking to you guys, and we're praying about situations that we want to be in God's will. And so, is it the Lord's will for me to take this job? Is it the Lord's will for me to date this person? Is it the Lord's will for me to go and buy this home? And we're always kind of trying to live in the Lord's will. You want to live in the Lord's will? Right there. He just told us how. It's in everything, give thanks. Why? Because this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. It's that simple. You want to know how you're living in God's will? Check your spirit. Check your attitude. Is it grateful? What motivation do we need to be grateful? Well, not much. We've been told to. We've been commanded to. But just in case we need something a little bit more than that, what have we received? What a benefit we have received in Christ. Psalm 107. I love Psalm 107. We read it at our Thanksgiving feast. In Psalm 107, there are four, you can read it this afternoon, it's a great text. There are four vignettes that God shows of these four types of people. And each one of them find themselves in a certain predicament. And it's not so good. And then all of a sudden, they cry out to God and they pray to God. They petition the Lord, and God in his mercy pardons them. And then they cry out to God with praise. You see these four vignettes, and in each situation at the end of the vignettes, the psalmist says, "Oh, that my people would praise the Lord." You know, he doesn't say, "Oh, that my people could praise the Lord," as if we can. But he says, "Oh, that my people would praise the Lord." And so if you're like me this morning and your predicament has been changed and you've been pardoned, then there's much to be praising the Lord about this morning. Colossians 3, if you have your Bibles, open up to Colossians 3 and spend a little bit of time there this morning real quickly. And we're going to kind of be in a lot of various texts this morning as we're working our way through this topical series of 5G. But in Colossians 3, we see this. He says that if then you have been raised up with Christ, the first verse, if then you have been raised up with Christ. So where does it start? It starts by being raised up with Christ. We looked at that last week, right? You can't grow into what you have been born. And so if then you've been raised up with Christ, what? Keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. And he goes on and he says, destroy the things that are drawing you away from gratefulness and put off those things. And then in verse 12, he says, and so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against one another, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. So he says three things to us. He says, if, seek and set, put off and put on. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek and set your heart on the Lord and the things above. And that will enable you to put off those things that are destroying you. Destroy those things. Suck the oxygen out of them and put on the things that are of him. And in doing so, look at verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And what? And be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. Three verses, three times, thankful, giving thanks, thankful, giving thanks. If, seek and set, put off and put on, but then be thankful. Now we make a conscious choice of gratitude. And so let me just remind us this morning the gratefulness we ought to have because of one reason, and that is the grace of God. In Ephesians chapter 2, I think we have a slide for this. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, he says this, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." You see, that is your sin, sick condition before Christ. And there's not a lot of hope for that. You are dead. And dead people don't get up out of the casket. They are dead. But verse 4, "But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were," what? "Dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Again, in Titus 3, we see similar verbiage. Titus 3, verse 3, "For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another." But, it's one of the best words in the Bible is "but." It's such a transitionary word. It takes us from the bad news to the good news. "But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us." How? Not on a basis of deeds. You can't do anything if you're dead, which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing and regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. But even so, church, we read verses like that, and we digest verses like that, and our spirit absorbs verses like that. But even so, we sometimes slip out of the grateful mindset. And when this happens, where do we go? We fall into the not-so-grateful mindset, do we not? What do we say grateful was? An attitude of overwhelming joy over a benefit received, which turns back expressions of thankfulness to the glory of the benefactor. And so if we're not grateful, what does it make us? Ungrateful. It's true, isn't it? If you're not grateful, you're ungrateful. Wives, husbands, close your eyes. Wives, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you feel that your husband is grateful for you? Raise your hand. Oh, you all just have peer pressure because he's sitting right next to you and he knows your arm's going up. Right? You feel that, right? Okay, hold on to that thought. We'll come back to that. Sometimes gratefulness is something that we feel, but we don't always express. We're going to come to that in a little bit. But we make a choice in our lives. Sometimes we leave behind in our minds every thought that we know to be true and what we have received as benefit, and instead we focus on the very things that we don't have. And we start to look for the things that we don't have. And so we've got this big, big pot full of grace that's overboiling and it's overflowing upon us. But over here, we have this little pail full of the have-nots that we don't have that seem to absorb us and cause us to be ungrateful. Instead of living in the pool of grace, we start getting over here and we start wanting the little pail full of junk, because we think it's going to make us happier or more grateful. What happens when we are ungrateful? God doesn't like that, does he? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we read in verse 1. He says, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the seas, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and into the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ." And so we're looking just back at this time of Moses when they're wandering in the wilderness and he's leading them through. And in verse 5 it says, "Nevertheless, with most of them," that is the people, "God was not well pleased." Why? Well, because "for they laid low in the wilderness." Now these things happened as an example for us that we should not crave evil things as they also craved, and do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, "The people sat down and to eat and drink and stood up to play. Let not us act immorally as some of them did." And 23,000 fell in one day. You can go to Numbers 25. You can see the story there of how God didn't put up with their bringing on immoral acts. And he killed them all. Nor, in verse 9, "Let us try the Lord as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, some of them accepting other gods." And God sends snakes to go in and destroy them. In verse 10, look at this. "Nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer." You can see that in Numbers chapter 16. I was reading that this morning, just reading through Numbers 16. It's unbelievable. These people are complaining about the food that God is providing for them. They're not even working for it. It's just showing up. And they're complaining about it in such a way that God's like, "I've had it with this grumbling. I've had it with this complaining." And he opens up the earth. He tells Moses and his people, "Get away from them." And he opens up the earth and he swallows them whole and he closes the earth on them. Wow. And yet we go around and we grumble. Do we not? God doesn't like it when we grumble. You say, "Well, I'm really grateful for my salvation, but sometimes I'm not a grateful person." Really? Really, why? "Because, Pastor, you don't understand my circumstance. You have no idea what I'm having to live in." Really? You see, our circumstance shouldn't determine our gratefulness. It cannot define our gratefulness. You say, "Well, if I didn't have this pain in my back, I would be so much more grateful. Or if I could just make a little bit more money at work, I would be so much more grateful. Or if my spouse was just a little bit more considerate of my needs, I would be so much more grateful. Or if we had a little bit better food on the table, I'd be so much more grateful." Or it, do you see it's a lot of if I's in that? Gratefulness isn't if I, it's he gave. That's why we're grateful. Listen, there's plenty of things that we can complain about if we want to approach our lives with this kind of attitude. Philippians 2 said, "Do all things without grumbling, without complaining, without disputing." Why? "So that we may prove ourselves to be blameless and innocent." Remember our big idea? Gratitude is the attitude that sets the altitude for living. And when I'm grumbling, I'm flying at a low altitude. And I need to get up into the atmosphere a little bit and suck the oxygen out of that controlling, complaining spirit. Acts chapter 16. Incredible story in Acts chapter 16 that we read about. And it's Paul and Silas are going into cities and they're planting churches and they're doing the work of the Lord. And God is multiplying the things that they're putting their hands to. And it's amazing what's going on. But in Acts chapter 16, just after God had miraculously used these men to accomplish a great purpose, in 22, verse 22, it says, "And the crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off of them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods." Anybody been beaten with a rod yet? I haven't been. "And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into a prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely." Anybody been thrown into the prison after being beaten with rods? I haven't been. And he, having received such a command, that is the jail guard, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now, I envision this as like not just the prison, but like the solitary confinement type prison you got thrown into, and you are wrapped in chains, bound. Now, I don't know about you, but like, if I was preaching God's word and I was faithful to the truth and God was multiplying that and lives were being changed and amazing things was happening, and all of a sudden the authorities of Winter Garden came along, threw me into prison, beat me with a rod, tied my feet up in chains, in solitary confinement, I'm not sure I'm that happy about that. Anybody in the room like happy about that? And I'm not so sure that my attitude doesn't change from grateful quickly to ungrateful. But look at this. This is unbelievable. Verse 25, but about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. Okay, I can understand that. Like, I'm sitting in the prison in Winter Garden. I'm all tied up, and I'm praying to God. God, would you get me out of this? This is a horrible mess. They falsely accused me. There's no possible way. You know better, God. You know that I'm innocent. You know. No. That's not what they're doing. Look what they're doing. They're praying and singing hymns of praise to God. God, thank you for this. This is unbelievable. And can't you see it? Like, if I'm sitting in my prison cell, all chained up, singing, I have set my heart on you. You have every part of me. I set my heart on you. Right? That's what I'd be singing. Right? But this is the coolest part. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly a great earthquake comes, and a foundation of the prison house is shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were unfastened. And when the jailer had been aroused from his sleep and seen the prison doors open, he drew his sword to kill himself. He's like, how could this happen on my dime? But Paul's still there. He didn't run. He was free. He could have gone. He's still there, but don't miss this. Don't just go to what happened, how God miraculously took him out of that prison. Don't miss the fact that the prisoners were listening. Church, we are surrounded by prisoners every day. People who are bound to sin, they're living in sin, and they know that you believe and entrusted your life to Jesus Christ, and you have an opportunity every single day to sing praise to God in front of them with your actions and with your words, and when they see it, they're listening. Don't lose sight of that. They're seeing and hearing everything you do. Wow. And when we're grateful, and when we praise God in adversity, and when we praise God in circumstances that seem to be unfair, God, by his grace, uses you to pour forth his glory, and prisoners listen. Wow. Matthew Henry, great Bible scholar, commentator, a few hundred years ago, wrote this after in his diary after being robbed. He said this, let me be thankful first because I was never robbed before. Let me be thankful second because although they took my purse, see, it's not bad. I have a little man purse. Matthew Henry, see, it's okay to have a man purse. Matthew Henry did. He's my dude. He's got it. He said, because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. He said, let me be thankful third, because although they took my all, let me be thankful that it was not much. And he said, let me be thankful fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. See the perspective? That's what God wants us to have. And it comes from a heart attitude that's choosing to be grateful. You see, attitudes are patterns of thinking that are formed over long periods of time, and nobody's perfect. But we need to get to the point where we are squeezing out the opportunity for the enemy to pour oxygen upon our weaknesses. Now, I have to be honest with you that this week, this passage, this study has been wrecking me. You say, why? Because my innate nature is not optimistic. My innate nature runs to the glass that's half empty mode. And so naturally, I fall into this situation where I complain about circumstances that I have no business complaining about. And God has been wrecking me this week on that. Like, truly, like, repenting of that to the Lord and writing a letter to my wife and asking to forgive me for this or that, and just knowing that I cannot stand up here and teach you about a grateful spirit when my life isn't evidenced of that at all times. And so, trust me, I would love to have jumped right away to the next week and bypassed this week and said, y'all had enough thankfulness this week, we are moving on. But God had to work in my heart first this week. And so I'm thankful for the challenge to dive into and study what it means to have a grateful spirit. And when circumstances around us aren't what we want them to be, it's because God wants us to get to a place by faith where we can thank Him for those circumstances. And so my question for you this morning is, are you there? Are you at that place where you can thank God for those circumstances that aren't so great? And so we want to move on. We want to move on to our second point this morning, our second thought. And that is, when I express gratefulness, it glorifies God. When I express gratefulness, it glorifies God. You see, gratefulness has to be expressed. Gratefulness has to be expressed. And when I say no to grumbling, when I say no to complaining, I'm saying yes to gratefulness. And we have to express it. And the way to rid ourselves of a complaining spirit is to fill our lives with a heartfelt expression of gratitude unto the Lord first and to others second. See, unexpressed gratefulness is still ungrateful. It's not enough to just feel grateful. It's not enough for somebody to feel that you are grateful for them. So guys, close your eyes. Gals, let me ask you a question. With our husbands in integrity, with their eyes closed and their ears not listening to whether you're raising your hand, do you feel as though your husband has expressed his gratitude to you? Yeah, praise God. See, y'all, I love preaching to y'all because you guys are doing it. You're doing it. But if you're not, men, open up, look here. If you're not, you don't hit that comfortable pillow that we're grateful for tonight until you have expressed gratefulness to the one who cares for you all the time. Where would we be without our wives? I would be like lost. Every day she's picking up clothes, throwing them in the laundry, picking up food, doing meals. I would be lost and living in a pigsty if it wasn't for my bride. We have to express gratitude. Turn with me to Luke chapter 17. I want us to see just a quick vignette of gratitude expressed. Luke chapter 17. We're going to be in verse 11. Remember, grateful means an attitude of overwhelming joy over a benefit received, which turns back expressions of thankfulness or thanksgiving to the glory of the benefactor. And so look at Luke with me, chapter 17, verse 11. And it came about while he was on the way, this is Jesus, to Jerusalem, that he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And he entered a certain village. 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. Now, it's interesting. The Bible is so full of detail, but as he's entering the village, there's these 10 leprous men standing outside the gates. Why? Because they're outcasts. They're unclean. They can't be inside. They've got leprosy. They're unclean. They've got a disease. It's a bad disease. We're told that leprosy affects the nervous system. It removes your ability to feel. And that feeling is good, right? Like when you have pain, you want to feel it, do you not? And so feeling is good, but they don't have that. And so what happens, they get infection, they don't know it, and it's just to grow, and it starts to, things to fall off upon their body, and it's a horrible, horrible, sick disease. And look, it says they're standing at a distance from the Lord. You see, when the Bible talks about leprosy, it's showing us the condition of our hearts before Christ. We are unclean before Christ. We have a sin-sick condition that is in need of healing. And there's only one healer. And so when we talk about leprosy in the scripture, we are being presented with a picture of our own hearts. And look at it says, they stood at a distance. And do you know why? When we can't feel pain or sin in our lives, we begin to become callous to that sin, and we no longer feel that sin in a way that grieves God and His Spirit. And so we are far from God. We stand at a distance from God. And look at this, verse 13. And they raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. The Greek word for raising their voices there is this, phone megalis. Sound that out, right? Phone megalis. Phone mega. It's as if they get this megaphone out and they're like, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They're crying out to God and by faith. And I love it in verse 14. And when he saw them. You notice it doesn't say, and when he heard them. It says, when he saw them. Now, Jesus is known for when he sees the weak and those who are a sheep without a shepherd, of having compassion. And so he said to them, go and show yourself to the priest. And it came about that as they were going, that they were cleansed. Now, when he said, go and show yourself to the priest, what he was saying is, if you had leprosy and you've been healed from leprosy, you go and you present yourself to the priest. You're there for 8 days to show that it's been healed, and they release you. You can read about it in Leviticus 14. It's a wonderful reading. But that was a joke, so you can laugh. But the reality is this. Jesus was saying, you're going to be healed, and so go show yourself to the priest. I mean, he didn't send them to the priest to get healed. He knew that was impossible. They knew that was impossible. Priest didn't want anything to do with them. So he was saying, go, and in doing so, by faith, you'll be healed. And so what do they do? Look at verse 15. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, he did what? He turned back, glorifying God. With a loud voice. He turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. What's our definition? Put our definition back up here, Matt. An attitude of overwhelming joy over a benefit received, which turns back expressions of thanksgiving to the glory of the benefactor. Do you see what happened? You see, the leper was healed on his way to the priest. And instead of going, he turns back to go back to the benefactor and express his gratitude. That's awesome. It's amazing. And look what he says. He was glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And then it adds this little bit. And he was a Samaritan. Now, I think why we see that is because Jesus was acknowledging to the disciples that the worst of the worst, the Samaritans were considered, they weren't Jews, they were considered outcast people. The worst of the worst I healed. And the worst of the worst came back and they gave me glory. And they were thankful and expressed that gratitude. Jesus goes on and asks them a question. Were there not 10 cleansed? But the nine, where are they? Was no one found who turned back to give glory to God except this foreigner? Stop there for a second. See, there's a difference between saying thanks and being grateful. And sometimes we take gratitude for granted. Sometimes we just assume like God's supposed to pour all this grace upon us. And we take it for granted. Church, we can't take it for granted. We must express gratitude. We must express thankfulness. Not because he needs it, because we need to do so. I'm sure the other nine were thankful. Anybody in the room think the other nine were not thankful? No, of course they were thankful, but they didn't express their thankfulness. They didn't come back and express their gratitude. And in doing so, what happens to the one? Verse 19, he says to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." And the word there for well is the same one has saved you. He has not only physically healed him, but he spiritually healed him. Far greater than any physical healing is a spiritual healing. And God, in his mercy, had accomplished it in this scenario. So let us consider this morning, church, our spiritual gift in Christ. The writer of Hebrews said it this way, "Therefore, since we have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude." Why? "By which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and with awe." Could I just remind us this morning, church? Let me just remind you that what we have to be grateful for. It is that God in his graciousness created you within your mother's womb. God in his graciousness brought you out and delivered you from your mother's womb. And in doing so, God in his graciousness poured out his breath upon you and imparted his soul into you. And God in his graciousness sent his son who emptied himself and took on the form of a man, and he lived a sinless life for us. He suffered rejection for us. He went to the cross for us. He took our sins upon himself for us. He died a brutal death for us. He was victorious over sin for us. He rose from the grave for us. He sent his Holy Spirit to guide and bring power to us. He makes intercession for us. He has gone ahead, and he has prepared a place for us. And guess what? He has promised that he's coming back for us. Now that, church, is theology. And theology needs to be followed by doxology. And doxology is where we fall on our face and we praise Almighty God because he is awesome. And we have received much. We have received much. In other words, we know more to be true about Christ and his word. We ought to more be on our face praising him. Simply said, the more that I know about his grace in my life, the more I realize about my need for his grace in my life, and the more I find myself on my knees, and the more I get to a position where I'm praising him for his grace in my life. Are you grateful? See, because at the very heart of this issue is worship. At the very heart of it is worship. God is concerned with our worship. He's concerned with who we worship and what we worship. And everything we do is an opportunity for worship. And so we express our gratitude. And I'm going to ask the band to come forward. You know how we express our gratitude? In two ways. And with this, we're going to close. We express our gratitude vertically. We express our gratitude vertically to God. This is worship. Many forms of worship, many expressions of worship, many ways to worship. But here at Harvest, we choose to worship in one way. Vertically, intentionally. We want to worship in spirit and in truth, because the Bible says that God is looking for worshipers who worship in spirit and in truth. And to that end, worship is here at Harvest is a contemporary style, but it is content-driven words. And so when we're singing, we're not just giving lip service to something. This is an expression of our heart. And these words that we hear and sing are an expression of our heart. Oh, I remember the days when I stood in church week after week and sang lyrics to songs, never expressing gratitude from my heart to God. It was just by memory, just wrote, just knew the songs, sang the songs. But we have an opportunity, like the leper who was healed, to fall on our face and worship and praise God. So we intentionally select lyrics that are vertical in nature so we can worship as an expression of our hearts. There's a second way that we can express gratitude, and that is horizontally. When we worship vertically, it's adoration. When we worship, or not worship, when we express gratitude horizontally, is affirmation. Moms and dads, you have an unbelievable responsibility to affirm the right things in your children. That is horizontal gratefulness as you affirm their right actions, their right choices, their right decisions, their right choices that lead to grateful spirits. Husbands and wives, we have an opportunity to express gratefulness to one another. How often do we go out of our way to express gratefulness to one whom God has used to bless us? So I'm going to leave you with this challenge this morning. Two things I want you to do this week. First, that I want you to write down ways in which you can express vertical worship to God in your life. Because the prisoners are listening. And how you act at work, and what you say around your children, and what you say to your spouse, and how you handle your co-workers, and all of those scenarios present opportunities for you to express gratefulness because the prisoners are listening. So I want you to make a list this week of those areas. And the second thing is that I want you to write a couple letters of thanks so that you can affirm someone who has blessed you, because we want to turn back expressions of thankfulness to those who have benefited us.